Hello, welcome to Her Wild Side Hockey Podcast. I am your hostess, Mickey, aka Hockey She Wrote, and we are past the deadline day, trade deadline day. I wanted to record about it yesterday, which would have been Saturday, but I just needed time to process because for the Wild fans that are here for the vibes, it was a lot to handle. But we made it through, and we do have some good stuff too. So, you know, we have to make our peace. What is, you know, what will be but before we get like deep into all the trades, there's kind of two things I'm going to touch on. So first, I'm going to talk about Pat Maroon. And the biggest thing is that the way that Bill Guerin is able to make some of these trades, he just steals assets. I know not everyone was okay with the trade for Maroon before the season started, aka my brother. But while Maroon was here, he really brought good things to the club. I know he didn't always fight, have that physical edge that the people wanted, but you know what? He was on the fourth line. He helped push it. He was scoring goals and like putting up points. So it was nice. And the biggest thing, without getting into like all the details, is that Bill Guerin traded for Maroon with a seventh round pick and flipped him for way more than that. And again, I know not everyone likes the trades that Guerin makes, but the way that he's able to do that sometimes is mind blowing. And then, you know, the Deweys are officially split up. It's always hard to see players that have come up through the system, you know, who were drafted by the Wild, came up through Iowa, especially, were here for a few years. You know, I feel like that's one of those things that makes it even harder. Because like, and I know part, like when Matt Dumba was traded, I know part of that, or not traded, he signed somewhere else, sorry. Part of that was that not only was he here for a long time, but he came up through the system. He, you know, he was drafted by Minnesota. He had been a part of it for a long time. And both of the Deweys, that was the same thing. And it was really hard to see Braden Duhaime in an Avalanche jersey, especially playing against the Wild. And, you know, I don't know. I can't read his mind, and I don't know what he's thinking. But most of the pictures that they have posted of him in Colorado, he looks so sad. And I know he wanted to stay in Minnesota because he talked about that. He's talked about it many times that he loves Minnesota. He wanted to stay. At the same time, we all knew it was coming because if he wasn't traded at the deadline, you know, he was a UFA coming in the offseason, and he would be asking too much money, more than the Wild could pay him. So we all knew it was coming, even Duhaime, but I think it still is just really upsetting. And knowing how loved he is in the Minnesota Wild locker room made it even harder. And then everyone, and again, Bill Guerin, he is known for like these last minute trades. Remember last year when he traded for John Klingberg and literally was like 30 seconds before it hit, you know, was it like 3 o'clock, like 30 seconds before trade was done is when he got that one done. Like it. So Connor Dewar, he traded him right before. And what's so sad is that everyone on, you know, social media was like, okay, we did not lose both Deweys. We still have a Dewey. We still have Dewar. And even Dewar said, you know, when my phone didn't ring by that point in time, I thought, okay, I made it. And that's what he said. Like, heartbreaking. I made it. And then he was traded. Now, for him, I'm a little bit different about how I'm feeling because he does seem excited. Again, he's a Canadian kid playing for Toronto. So that aspect of it is exciting, you know, and I'm happy that he's found something to enjoy. And you know what? If Colorado and Toronto go on like a deep playoff run, I will be more than happy for both of the Deweys. It's just a little bit hard right now to deal with it. And of course, there's been this whole blow up on social media. And honestly, I was not on Twitter last night to see how this started, how it went down. But some, basically, people were like, oh, Connor Dewar, another white guy on the team. And anyone who is a Wild fan knows immediately that Connor Dewar is not white. He might have lighter skin, but he is from the Métis tribe, which was formed when Indigenous women would marry white men coming from, you know, like France or French Canadian, English, whatever. I don't know exactly all the nationalities that. Anyway, it was a forming of a tribe, and that's why, he looks white. But an interesting thing that someone has been pointing out is if you look at Dewar's facial structure, he has very Indigenous features. And I don't know a lot about bone structures and that kind of stuff. But if you do compare, he has a bone structure that once you compare, it's like, oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. Either way, you know what? I understand if you didn't know that he was Indigenous. I understand that. But people, when they were corrected on that, doubled down and were like, well, how was I supposed to know? Well, it's not that you are supposed to know so much as when someone corrects you, you just go, oh, okay. Like, I never knew that. I learned something today. It's as simple as that. And I don't know where Dewar's going to end up after this season because he is an RFA. I don't know if he'll, if Toronto will give him a qualifying offer. I don't know if he'll sign somewhere else, but I really hope that wherever he lands, he is able to find kind of the connections that he did here in Minnesota. I know that he did work to help the American Indian Center. And, he and Duhaime both, they took over the hockey camp that Matt Dumba ran for 4 years. I'm trying to think of what, I don't remember the exact name, but basically it's for diversity in hockey. It's in all sorts of different diversity. And they ran it last year and it was so cute. I mean, last month. And it was so cute and they looked like they were having so much fun. And now that they're both gone, I know one of the questions is, well, who's going to run it now? So that'll be something to look forward to seeing who will step into that role. Now, there is one big bright spot that we're going to talk about before we get into the nitty-gritty of the trades. And his name is Murat Kuznetdinov. Previously, I was saying Kuznetdinov. I was wrong. I thought I had it right. I was wrong. You do not pronounce the K. It is Kuznetdinov. And I hope that I have heard that correctly because watch me have to get corrected again. Anyway, Murat is here. He is here in Minnesota. He seems super happy. I know there was one guy on the Wild staff who met him at the airport and said that he was just like so happy, so smiley. He traveled here with, I believe it's his sister, his older sister. She's like a fashion designer from what I'm seeing on Instagram. I can't speak Russian. So, but he also seems to maybe have a little bit better of a handle on English than Kirill did. Just judging by the video that they posted of him when Murat got here versus the video of Kirill the second year he got here. It just seems like maybe he has a little bit better of a handle, which is exciting because then maybe we'll be able to hear directly from him a little sooner. Whenever he's comfortable, obviously. We don't want to force anybody to speak in a language they're not comfortable with. But it's very exciting to see this morning. It's Sunday today. This morning, they posted a couple pictures in a video of Murat practicing with the scratches, the guys that are injured, the assistant coaches. And he looked like he was excited. And not that he's like, he doesn't seem to be like a smiley guy, but I feel like you can just see that he is excited, that he likes what's happening. He's excited to be here. He can't wait to kind of like get in on stuff. I know they got him a place to live near, like near Kirill. So he will have someone to help him, you know, with anything that he needs to kind of get accustomed to America. And I am really excited to see whenever he is going to make his debut. We don't know that yet, when that will be. You know, we did obviously lose three players. I'm sorry. I just noticed that I wrote, instead of maroon, I wrote maroon. I don't know where my mind goes sometimes. But anyway, we are very excited to see his first game, whenever that is. Or first open practice. Actually, now that I think about that, I'm going to look and see when or if they have an open practice. I would love to see him on the ice. You know, I've seen him in so many videos. Okay, I'm going to stop raving now. And while I prepare myself to talk all about the trades and the specifics, I am going to have you guys listen to just a really quick ad read. All right, I'll be right back.
Thank you for watching the show. If you enjoy our podcast and want to support the show, consider signing up for ESPN Plus via our link at insidetherink.com/ESPN or scan the QR code on your screen now. I have ESPN Plus and I personally love all the college sports, UFC, MLB, and NHL games all across ESPN platforms. Over 1,000 out-of-market NHL games are on ESPN Plus every year. Make sure you hit the QR code or go to insidetherink.com/ESPN to make sure you don't miss out on any of this year's NHL action. And if that wasn't enough for you, ESPN Plus is currently offering a bundle of ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and Hulu for $14.99 a month. You get sports, the kids get Disney, and Hulu is the added bonus. It's the perfect bundle. I personally have it, and I don't know what you would do without it.
Hi, welcome back. Okay, so trade deadline day. We knew it was going to be different than the last 2 years. The last 2 years, the Wild were in a spot where, you know, obviously they hadn't clinched a playoff spot, but we knew they were going to be in contention. So the last 2 years were really exciting because for the most part, it was more adding. You know, you were adding players. It wasn't so much about sending and getting things in return, if that makes sense. And this year, a lot of what we got were draft picks, which the Wild and the way that they draft, they are able to find kind of these diamonds in the rough because... So I was asked, and I was on Leafs Late Night, and I was asked about this. And, you know, draft picks, what rounds do you think they got the right, you know, a good draft pick for this player, that player? Honestly, I know that, you know, you want a first round. You want a second round, you know, but you'll take any round. I just always think about how Kaprizov was drafted in the fifth round. And he is this superstar. So whenever I'm asked about like kind of the later rounds, it's kind of like, to me, it doesn't really matter because I trust the way that the Wild draft. I know some people are having a problem with that because lately, like Iowa has been having a really hard time this year, Iowa Wild. They're not doing great. A lot of the prospects just aren't quite ready. They're not NHL ready. But you know what? I don't think that means that they did a bad job drafting. I think it just means that there are struggles that you can't see. You don't know. It's like last year with Rossi, or even last year pulling up Beckman, or at the beginning of the year, Sammy Walker, Beckman. You know, it's just you don't really know some of these other struggles. But one of the things I noticed is when they were interviewing Bill Guerin about all the trades, how it went down, he looked visibly bummed. Like, I completely believe him when he said that it was really hard to have to make these trades. I could never be a GM and do trading and stuff because I would literally just like collect players. And you can't do that, obviously, because you can only have 23 roster spots. But I would just be like, I'd be like, nope, nobody can leave. I am the mama hen. I'm just going to keep gathering chicks, hockey player chicks, and you are all going to stay in the fold here in Minnesota in the Excel Center. And that's not how it works, obviously. But I did think that it was kind of touching to see that he was upset because he liked the Deweys. He loved the Deweys. We all love the Deweys. And to lose them was upsetting. So we are going to talk. I have a couple little graphics here. So if you're watching, you'll be able to see them. But I will talk about them in case you are just listening. So we're going to start with the Nick Petan to the Rangers. And in return, we got Turner Ellison. So Ellison is a forward, and he was sent straight to Iowa. He is kind of a career AHL player. He's played three different NHL games in his career. And from what I see, he can produce points, but he's just a really hard worker. And it's hard to lose Petan because Petan puts up points. You know, like he was, you know, like the leading scorer, he's putting up points. He was doing great. He was kind of the one person consistently scoring, I think, in Iowa. And in return, we get Ellison, who isn't really a scorer. But you know, I think at this point, they are just trying to get some more veteran presence in Iowa. And this was an opportunity for Petan that kind of is like, this is like a bigger opportunity for him. So, you know, this trade, what do I think? Yeah, I don't really have strong feelings either way. I think that hopefully Petan will find success in New York, and hopefully Ellison will be able to maybe just bring a little more of a presence to Iowa. Trade number two, which was actually the first trade that we learned about, was Brandon Duhaime to the Colorado Avalanche. And in return, the Wild get a 2026 third round pick. And I think this is a good trade. You know, Duhaime is a really hard worker. Obviously, he's not someone that you're going to get like a first or second just because he produces points, but it's not like not as high as maybe someone else would get a first round for. But a third round pick, I think, is really good because he does bring a lot that's not just scoring or putting up points. Yes, he mostly plays on the fourth line, but he's played up the lineup to the third line. He is good on the penalty kill. That was what was really hard, was losing both two of the best penalty killers on the Wild. But he's good on the penalty kill. He's tough. He'll drop the gloves. You know, he's a hard worker. So to get the pick in return, yeah, I mean, a third round was great. And like, I never know how far out does it matter. Meaning, so this is 2024. Obviously, this draft pick is for 2 years from now. So, you know, if I'm like a GM, I don't know. Does the year matter? Or does it only really matter depending on what else you have? Because to me, it's like, okay, it doesn't really matter when the third round pick is, but we have it. So let's see. I'm going to switch over to the next graphic. So I'm going to talk about Pat Maroon first as I accidentally wrote down Maroon-a-roon. Pat Maroon-a-roon is now with the Boston Bruins, who apparently he thought hated him, which makes me a little bit sad. You can come back, Maroon. That's fine. We received Luke Toporowski and a 2026 sixth round pick, but that one's conditional. It's only if Maroon plays a playoff game for Boston, because he is still currently injured. He's rehabbing from back surgery. He is supposed to be coming back in the next few weeks, from what I understand. So this should be a pretty easy, you know, like this should be fine. We should get that draft pick. And again, we traded for him with a seventh round pick and are getting back a sixth round pick. Plus, we've got this Toporowski, which I feel like people call him Topper or Toppy. We'll see what he likes. He's another forward. He is, I believe, 22 years old, so he's still pretty young. He's going straight to Iowa, and he is the first player to play for the Iowa Wild who is actually from Iowa. So that was just a really cool kind of side bonus to us all. Someone kind of compared him. I was reading through scouting reports. Someone compared him to, they said, think of your favorite small NHL pot stirrer. You know, so like in my head immediately, I'm like, well, Brad Marchand. You know, so maybe we have another Marchand on our hands. I would be okay with that. Apparently he's got like a quick, powerful shot, quick hands. He's got some good speed. And he's in the AHL now, but he's young. And I'm excited to kind of see how he develops down there. And our last trade, our number four trade, Connor Dewar to Toronto Maple Leafs in exchange, a 2026 fourth round pick, plus Ovchinkov. Okay. So again, I think this is another great trade. I do think Guerin made great trades with what he had, because for Duhaime, got a third round. Dewar comes with a little bit more of an upside than Duhaime does. So he gets a fourth round and another player, a prospect. And that works because, again, Dewar has a little bit more of a scoring edge than Duhaime does. He had that hat trick earlier in the season, which was, you know, kind of out of the blue, but at the same time, he was like, yeah, I can score, whatever. Why is everyone making a big deal about this? Now, the prospect that we got, he actually just left the KHL and signed over here with the Marlies. So he is not actually going to Iowa right now. He is staying with the Marlies because he's with them for their playoff run for the AHL. And scouting reports, what I read is that he is speedy. He's got a good release. He's got great potential. He just needs to add some strength. And I feel like that is something, you know, I don't know what his future plans are, but when we have guys who kind of stay over the summer and work on strength with like the Wild staff, they are stronger. Like look at Rossi. Rossi stayed over the summer. And he put on like 15, 20 pounds of muscle. I mean, you could visibly see that he was beefed up. So, you know, again, I don't know if this guy would come to Minnesota or what he would do, but if he's able to kind of continue over the offseason and add some strength, it would be really interesting to see. Hopefully we see him in Iowa next season. I know we need more prospects to come over and see if we can improve this Iowa team a little bit, because right this year, they're just not doing great. And the problem, I guess I can take this graphic off so you can look at my beautiful face instead. The problem is that, is this a good way to develop Wallstedt? Like, he's doing good, but there are games that they are just, they lose terribly. Or it's just not great. And it's not Wallstedt's fault necessarily. You know, he might have a bad day or something. Everybody does. But if you have the team playing in front of him, that Swiss cheese, and is letting everything through, and Wallstedt can only stand on his head so much, you just have to think that what's better for him? Keeping him down there another year or bringing him up to the NHL? Because we have this really interesting situation. And I'm trying to think of, so we've got the three goalies. We've got Fleury, we've got Gustafson, and we've got Wallstedt. Fleury, we all thought was going to retire after this year. And I don't think he's going to. I don't think he's going to retire anymore. And I do honestly think that at the beginning of the season, he made a good decision to not make an announcement because he has played so well. He looks like his old self. So I could see him signing another year, and I would love to have him here in Minnesota. I know that one of the reasons that he did not want to be traded is not only because he feels like the Wild are his team, they're his boys, he wants to stay, but also because he wants to stay with his family. That was the whole reason why, like, when he signed, he wanted at least a 2-year deal, because he deserves that. He deserves to not have to move his family all the time. You know, his kids are getting older, and that's got to suck for them. So moving on, we've got Gustafson, who last year was just an absolute enigma. And this year, and he knows this because he's talked about it, he has struggled so much with consistency, because there are nights where he is amazing. Like when they played, was it Arizona, where they scored like instantly on the first shot in like 20 seconds. But then after that, he locked it down and he did not make more stupid mistakes. But again, he's either on or off, and there's no gray medium this year. But I want to continue to have faith in him. I hope that the Wild do not try to move him, because he has shown what he can do. And with a team where it seems like we are doing a little bit more of a rebuild than Guerin wanted to, or we wanted to, I feel like we should keep him around and see what more he can do. Can he become more consistent? Can he, you know, just, can he become that number one that we all think he can and that he wanted to prove he can be? I think so. But then we have Wallstedt. So originally the plan was to pull Wallstedt up to Minnesota next season with Gustafson. It would be the last year of his ELC. And have Gustafson, you know, play number one and have Wallstedt be number two. But do you want Wallstedt to play in front of a team like this? They threw him to the wolves in that Texas game. I hate that. If there's one thing that I hate that the Wild did this year, it's that. It's having his first NHL game be such a load of crap. And I feel so bad for him. I do hope he gets a few more starts here as we get towards playoffs. If we become, you know, if we get to a spot where we know where we're going, can we make the playoffs? Or is there no way we will make the playoffs? Then pull him up and we'll see how he's doing. Or do we leave him in the AHL? I mean, okay, it's just, there's no right answer. There's no right answer. But honestly, if I had to make the choice as of right now, I would try to re-sign Fleury for, you know, he might be amenable to a 1-year contract, knowing that time is coming up now. Maybe a 2-year contract, but I don't think we want to sign him to a 2 because we want to pull up Wallstedt. I think we keep Gustafson around. I think we keep Wallstedt in Iowa. But see if we can give him a few starts here or there. You know, we have to wait and see. I am going to do a quick little ad here. So if you would like to support our show, my show, the pod network that I am affiliated with, we have a special affiliate link for Ticketmaster. If you buy any and all tickets through our link for Ticketmaster, we will receive a cut of Ticketmaster's profit. So there's nothing extra. You're not paying extra. We are taking some money from Ticketmaster as basically being like, yeah, we sold tickets for you. And this is not just hockey tickets, folks. This is any tickets that you want. This is theater tickets. This is hockey tickets. This is other sports tickets. I don't know. What else sells through Ticketmaster? If you want to take your kids to like one of those stage shows, I do that every once in a while, and they're actually more fun than you would think they were. we go to like the PBS ones. We've been to Daniel Tiger. We've been to Wildkratz, and they're really fun. Anyway, you can get their tickets through Ticketmaster, any and all. So if you are watching, I have a QR code up on the screen right now that you can get. You can, what do you scan? Do you scan a QR? Yeah, scan the QR code and get our link. I will also have a link in the show notes with a link that you can go through. And then in my show notes also, I will have links to some of our other ways that we try to support the show financially. And I will also have a list of all the different trade deadline day articles that I wrote about this, if you just want a little more information. So I'm going to wrap this up because this is getting really long, but there are two things that I want to say. Number one, Adam Beckman is up here. He's actually getting some ice time. It's not always great, especially on, what was it, Thursday, Friday. Friday was so many special teams, and he's not on the special team. But I'm excited to kind of have him get a little more ice time up here and just prove that he can stay up here. The last thing I'm going to say is that if you remember, I do have a merch shop, which I will link below in the show notes. There is plenty of stuff with my Her Wild Side logo, which you see on my screen if you're watching me. And I have all sorts of different stuff, like my Hot Girl Hockey Club shirt. And these things are available, not just shirts. There's also coffee mugs, there's stickers, there's all sorts of things. Again, this is a way, if you think that these are fun, you would wear it, you'd use it. This is another way to support my show financially. And I will say the shirts that I've gotten are very comfortable. So this is, you know, I'm literally telling you, like, these are good shirts. So I will leave you with that. I hate doing a hard sell. I used to, side note, for a little while, I did a mommy blog. This was before mommy blogs got like weird, but you know, obviously I was trying to like make a little money from it. And so I would do like sponsored posts and stuff, but I had such a hard time doing them because it would be like, take these weird, awkward pictures of you holding a product and like, you know, so the label's facing the camera or like, oh, like having to do a video kind of like this. I hate a hard sell. So just know that I am only hard selling things that I use myself, like Ticketmaster and my merch. All right, I'm going to leave you because I'm sure you're annoyed of me and you don't want to listen to me anymore. I don't blame you. I will be back sooner than a week. And until then, I want you to keep the good vibes going for the Minnesota Wild because we can make the playoffs. Good vibes for the Deweys and Maroon. Thank you for your service. Hopefully we see you again on our bench and not the other. And everybody is a part of the Hot Girl Hockey Club. I love you all, and I will see you next time. Bye.